Deep sea mining for metals falls into three distinct categories. So we can mine for manganese nodules, which occur on the deep abyssal plains of the ocean floors. We can mine cobalt crusts, which occur on the flanks of seamounts, which occur particularly in the Pacific. And we could mine for sulfide deposits, which occur on mid-ocean ridges, where there are these strange hydrothermal deposits and black smokers.
The deep is an inhospitable and a difficult place. Does this require particular techniques to get down there, to get these minerals out?
The challenge of mining nodules is very small, and a number of collectors have already been built. The challenge of pumping those from 4, 5 or 6,000 metres water depth to the surface is quite a major challenge, and I'm not sure that that's been cracked yet. But for cobalt crusts, it's going to be quite difficult to actually remove the crust from the rock whilst not collecting any rock at the same time. Otherwise, the quality of the ore goes down and the commercial value of that goes down. So there are some technological challenges there that need to be addressed.
It sounds as if it's going to be quite destructive.
The areas that will be impacted for mining nodules and crusts will be very large, especially in comparison to on land mines. For mining sulfide deposits, they will be similar to mines on land because they're a three-dimensional deposit. The ecosystems are quite different for each of the deposits. So for manganese nodules, they are very peculiar ecosystems. They live very deep in the ocean. They've been stable for many, many tens of millions of years. And very complex patterns have appeared with very large numbers of species, but very, very, very thinly spread. So most samples we collect contain mainly new species, which we almost never find again in another sample. For the cobalt crusts, they are typical seamount communities, which are quite long-lived, quite biodiverse, and structural communities such as corals and sponges that within which lots of other species live in association. For sulfide deposits on ridges, there we find these very charismatic species, the shrimps and the crabs and things that live in very high abundance but very small numbers of species. And those can bounce back very quickly from any disturbance because they're used to hydrothermal activity. What we're trying to do within the project that I'm managing is to find techniques that will reduce the impact. So if we can identify mechanisms that will make it more simple for organisms to get back and recolonize, then if those can be built into the engineering design quite cheaply, then they might be taken on board. Obviously, the nodules, which have taken many tens of millions of years to grow, will be removed. So the organisms that live on and in those nodules will not be able to live in that area which is mined again. Unfortunately, the mining will also create plumes of sediment-laden and potentially toxic material that will spread away from the mined area and impact much bigger areas than is actually mined. And so organisms might be impacted, killed over very wide areas indeed. It's not sustainable to say that nodule mining will just bounce back to where it was. The ecosystems which will return over maybe hundreds of years will be somewhat different to those that were there before. For crusts on seamounts, the organisms are very long-lived and will probably take many tens or hundreds of years to return to those areas. But the area will not be significantly changed, except that the crust will be missing and rock will be there instead. And we're not totally sure that some organisms aren't specialised to live on crusts. For the sulfide deposits, because they're very dynamic environments with lots of fluids escaping at the seafloor, they will build new chimneys and new organisms will come in relatively quickly and repopulate those areas, probably in the same type of organisms that were there before. So our knowledge of these deep sea ecosystems is very, very poor, so we have to apply what's called the precautionary principle, where we have to take worst-case scenarios and try to plan for those, such as in the Clarion-Clipperton Zone, which is the main area in the Central Pacific licensed for nodules, very large areas, 400 kilometres by 400 kilometres in size, and nine of them in total, have been identified where mining would be prevented, where refuges would be left for organisms to then recolonize back into the areas that have been impacted by mining. And that's all we can do with the precautionary principle at the moment.